copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
I'm going to admit, confess something to you. And that is, until about 5 years ago, I've been talking about planning for 30 some years, and I still hadn't distinguished between strategic planning and annual planning. I just thought they were sort of the same, and I hadn't really taken the time to really sit down and really define them. But 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, I thought, you know what? I don't think they're the same. I've never sat down to define how they're different, but they aren't different. They're not the same. So I took a lot of time. Like, you'll take a lot of time to sort of define and reflect on things that you're thinking about. But I took time to think about this, and here's what I concluded. Number one is that a plan, I've known forever that a plan is simply a written statement about a group's assumptions, about its direction, its organization, and its cash. That's what a plan is. Now, let me share something else with you that you may find a little bit difficult to believe. I would suggest to you that you don't have to believe it, but over your lifetime, reflect on it, and what you're going to find is, I think you'll find it is true. And that is, 85% of leadership is clear direction, the right team or organization, and enough cash. 85% of leadership is clear direction, the right team, and enough cash. I've asked, I don't know, a lot of presidents, including one this week, does that make sense to you? You've been leading for X number of years. Does it make sense to you that if you've got clear direction, the right team, and enough cash, that that's 85% of leadership? You know what the answer is? Except one person who said, nah, I don't think it's quite that much. Every other one said either, yeah, that makes sense to me. But most people say, it's probably more than that. Why do I tell you this? Because whenever your head gets in a fog, and as a leader, it will get in a fog occasionally. Whenever your head gets in a fog, go back to, okay, what's our direction? What do I do with the team right now? And where do we get more money? Or have we got enough money? Or that? Just go back to these three things as sort of the bedrock of what you keep wrestling with as a leader. It'll help you. It's helped me many, many times. And it's helped my clients many, many times. Now, again, I don't expect you have to believe it. It may seem foolish to you or something, but I say don't discount it quickly, because I think you'll find that it's pretty accurate. Okay? Now, let me state what a plan is again. A plan is a written statement. It isn't just a discussion where you can assume one thing and I can assume another, and we part friends assuming different things. When it's in writing, it's a written statement of the group's assumptions that everybody basically agrees on, right? It's a written statement, not just a verbal discussion. A written statement of a group's assumptions. What are we assuming to be what we're going to do? About what? Its direction, its organization, and its cash. That's what a plan is. Okay. I mean, first of all, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. Anyone want to argue about this after session? But what is a strategic plan then? A strategic plan is a group's assumptions about where it wants to be in 10 to 50 years. A strategic plan is your long-term thinking. But your group, unless it will clarify what your assumptions are for long-term, that's what often causes church splits. It's like, we're going to do this year, and we're going to do this next year, but we haven't agreed on where we're going long-term. And so when we get 3 years into it, or 5 years into it, you say, well, I don't think that's right. I don't think that theology is right. I don't think, we didn't ever plan to be a big church. You know, it's like, whatever the split issues become, because you hadn't agreed to it up front. So the church splits, and one goes under one assumption, the other one goes under another. But it's not just church splits, it's businesses, it's marriages, it's all kinds of things. But a strategic plan is long-term, 10 to 50-year thinking. Whereas an annual plan is a group's assumptions about what it hopes to accomplish in the next year to move in the direction of a strategic plan. In other words, what are we going to do this year, this annual year, to move strategically in the direction of what we've agreed where we want to go? That's the difference between a strategic plan and an annual plan. Now, as a part of the introduction, let me just read you a few things, just to sort of clarify. Our strategic plan shows where we want our organization to be in 10 to 50 years. Our strategic plan is the basis on which we decide what to do next year to move in the direction of our long term. Our strategic plan gives meaning to all we do. Perhaps 40 years ago, it occurred to me, and I wrote this down, nothing is meaningful without a context. That may be one of the most profound thoughts I've ever thought, because it's given me clarity in 1,000 or 10,000 situations since. There isn't one thing that's meaningful without a context, including you. Your family, where you came from, that's a part of your context. Where you're going, that's a part of your context. You know, how you see yourself today, how you describe yourself, that's a part of your context. In other words, nothing is meaningful without a context. Your strategic plan is the context in which all your annual plans work. Your strategic plan is our organization's future context, giving meaning to every action and reaction our organization takes. If we're going to build a building, well, if our strategic plan is we'll never have buildings, we'll meet in homes, oops. Our strategic plan is the basis for alignment and clear understanding at all levels. There should be alignment and understanding from the board of directors to our senior executive, our executive team, and all of our newest team. In other words, your strategic plan is what lets the board, the organization, agree with the president or the senior pastor or the executive director or the person who is the top leader in the organization, and lets you establish alignment of your thinking with the executive team and with all the constituents, all the donors, everything. It's like we are in agreement. This is who we are and where we are going. Here's what's important to us. Without that, sometimes the board's thinking, we're going to go this way. And the senior executive's thinking, ooh, we're going to go this way. And the executive team thinks, we don't want to go either way. And the constituents think, why am I giving money? Because they don't know where they're going. You know, that kind of thing. It's just a mess. But once you can get that strategic plan in place, there's alignment all the way up and down the system. It's a valuable piece of material. But you know what? The number of organizations that have a strategic plan are very limited because they have a year plan, but what the long-term thinking is, it hasn't been documented, hasn't been defined. Our strategic plan helps the essence of our organization remain constant. This is true even if what is realistically achievable varies dramatically in each phase of development. In other words, you've heard or you've been experienced or you've thought, where this organization started out is 5 degrees off where they are now. They aren't the same. And then 10 years later, and 15 and 20 years later, they're way off. And then 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 100 years, they're opposite. Harvard University would be an example. It's like they started out here, and in my thinking, they're going here. They're going 180 degrees opposite to what they started out. Cambridge, Oxford, some of the primary schools of Europe, the same way. Some of the cathedrals you've got I was talking to a lady from Germany this morning. Some of the big churches in Germany have 3 people attending on Sunday. Well, that's not where they started out. A lot of the churches are being sold to Muslim groups. That's not where they started out. And so where you get off is you get off a degree a month, a degree a year or something. It's just sort of a subtle drift off. But when you have a strategic plan, every year you can come back and say, is this where we are still going? And if we have to change it, then we change it consciously. We say, we are going to change where we are going. Everybody in agreement? As compared to just drifting a part of a degree at a time, or part of a degree at a decision. Per decision sometimes just drops you off. And fifthly, our strategic plan should be reviewed once a year. It is not a weekly, monthly, or quarterly document. This isn't something, once you get a strategic plan in place, you don't review it every week or every day. No, it's once a year the board or whoever is involved should sit down and look at it. It doesn't take long to review it. 5 or 10 minutes and say, is this still where we're going? Yes, it is. Check. Okay, let's get on with the annual plan. Okay, now how do you actually put one together? What's the essence of this, what I would call conceptual? Christ is a cornerstone of the church. But there are other cornerstones of the church. One of the planning cornerstones, or at least a brick in the foundation, is the strategic plan. So basically, what are the elements of the foundation of the organization you're in, the church, the organization you're a part of? What are the foundations that the church is building on? Well, number one is scriptures. You want to take your group, and this could be a team retreat, it could be you taking off and taking draft one if you want to, and then running it past people to sort of get input or whatever. But whenever you're trying to think about the strategic plan, you want to look at what are the 5 to 10 foundational scriptures, the bedrock on which we are building. You say, well, we're building on all of scripture. I know you are. But some scriptures, like Campus Crusade, tends to build on evangelistic scriptures. And Navigators tends to build on discipling scriptures. And World Vision tends to build on need scriptures. And so there are certain scriptures that an organization is built on that may be somewhat different than a scripture down the street. And based on your theology, you may be building on different theological stones than someone else is. But you want to be clear on that. What are the 5 or 10 foundational scriptures we are building on? So when someone comes in and says, oh, this isn't this theology isn't right. Well, if you don't agree with this theology, you're probably in the wrong building. Because this is what we believe. The second one is beliefs. What are the 3 to 5 things our team believes in common? Example again, the Nicene Creed, certain affirmations. What are the things that were written in 1812 or 1902? What are the beliefs that are foundational to the founding of your church or organization or denomination or whatever it is? What are those things? So if I come in, I'm a new staff member, or I'm a new member, I come in, I can read through those quickly, and I know, oh, I didn't realize they believed this. Well, if they believe this, this is the kind of group I've been looking for. Or this isn't my kind of people. But you can quickly, like in, once this is together, probably 15 minutes, know, is this where I want to spend my life as a member of this group? Or, because this is what group I've been looking for, or is this a group of people that I think they're wacko? I think they're way off. If that's what they believe, because I don't believe that at all. Number 3 would be the purpose statement or mission statement, a clear statement of why we exist as an organization. A purpose statement, from my perspective, needs to take paragraphs of thought and try to boil it into a sentence or two. You don't want your purpose statement to be 17 pages long. Your purpose statement in terms of why we're here, in my thinking, ideally would be a sentence or two. But now here is a thought to reflect on. Most members could not report or restate the purpose statement if they had to. They don't know the two or three sentences the board and the staff have hammered out and come to a conclusion on. But if you can come up with a slogan, which is basically three words that capture the essence of what you're doing, your members can get that in their mind and remember it forever. Is anyone here affiliated with Campus Crusade or has been?
Yes.
Okay. I want you to complete this thinking for me. Today, the campus. Tomorrow,
the world.
The world. Hear that? Anyone that's been affiliated with Campus Crusade can complete this statement. Bill Bright said, today the campus, tomorrow the world. Those are two slogans tied together. Now, who can recite for me the purpose statement or the mission statement of Campus Crusade? No one. I'm saying if you can get it so that your church, your organization, has a clearly defined purpose statement, but then you can turn that into a slogan, you'll find that that is very helpful in having your members be able to remember why they're here. Next, a dream or a vision. What do we hope? What difference do we hope to make in the deep future? What do we want to? What do we want to do to influence and impact? Again, this is non-measurable, but scalable. What I mean by that is, you say, first of all, it's non-measurable. Like, we'd like to reach the campuses of the world for Christ. Well, that's not measurable, but it is definitive. And it is scalable. What I mean by scalable is you can teach it to one person who can teach it to another person, and pretty soon you get 500 people teaching it to 5,000 people. It can grow very rapidly. It's scalable. So our purpose statement, or our dream rather, and our vision is one that is not limited to we want to reach 300 campuses and then we're done. So it's not measurable, it's infinitely expandable, but it's also scalable, so you can teach it and the word of mouth and the training can grow it very rapidly. And then programs. What are the primary programs we will use to make this difference? For example, again, back to Campus Crusade, Bill Bright originally came up with the idea of this basic formula. He said, if we can get 300 kids to attend a Campus Crusade meeting on campus, about 300, about 30 of them will maybe become Christians and want to come to a discipleship meeting, and where we'll teach the 10 steps to spiritual maturity. Out of 300, if we can get 30 of them to accept Christ, and then we'll take them through the 10 steps to spiritual maturity or something like that. And then out of that 30, we can maybe get three of them who will want to come on staff. That's the formula, if you will. That's the program they had to grow the mission. And so what are the two or three programs, or three or four or five programs that your organization offers that are programs that will probably be there 10 or 15 or 20 years? Because 60 years later, Campus Crusade is still doing that. It's like certain programs that meet the public. They are not internal. They're not like the administrative services that stay inside the headquarters. But they are things that go out and meet the public. Programs that meet the public. What are those three or four or five or six programs that your ministry has, your church offers, to meet the public that will bring them in to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish? So what are those things that are the bedrock programs that hopefully will be there 10 to 15, 20 years, 50 years? And then the corporate culture. Here, you're looking at what are the 5 to 10 foundational assumptions concerning the behavior of each team member, which are key to shaping our entire corporate culture. In other words, what are the things that our team will share in common? What are the, we will be honest, we will, you know, treat each other with kindness, or what are the things that create the corporate culture? When someone comes in, they see people that are honest, treating people with care, tenderness, or whatever it is, that are a grace-filled culture, or whatever. What are the primary elements that you want in the culture of your organization 50 years from today? These are the long-term thoughts that shape the annual activity. Now, these are what I, in the legacy, what do we hope to leave to the next generation? In other words, when we're here and we give 30, 40, 50 years of our lives to this church or ministry or whatever it is, what is it we want to leave in place that can go on for another 50 years? That's your long-term thinking. And what do we do today to move in the direction where it'll be effective, it'll be in place, the direction will be clear, the organization will be sound, the cash will be there to keep it going for the next 50 years, just year after year. Now, these are what I would call the qualitative steps. In other words, these aren't necessarily measurable. They're definitive, but they're not measurable. You can define it. You can put words to it, but you're not trying to measure it, per se. Now, when it gets to the quantitative part of the strategic plan, there is one tool I developed several years ago that turns out to be the hinge between the strategic plan and the annual plan. It ties the strategic plan to the annual plan from a measurable perspective. And that's the 7 vital signs and 5 critical standards. I'll introduce it to you in just a couple words, but a couple of minutes. But you want to see that the 7 vital signs and 5 critical standards video, where you take the whole, unpack it all, is available through Focal, free. So just go to the Focal website and under speakers and then under my name and look up the 7 vital signs. And it'll expand it so that you can understand it more fully, but you can also teach it to your accounting department or whoever you need to keep this information. But the essence of it is this. You may think that all the organizations in the room have at least a 5-year plan, except mine. We don't, but they do, certainly, because they're leaders and we're not, you know, kind of thing. Wrong. The number of organizations in this room that have a plan that goes beyond 2 years is very little, very few. Let me prove it to you. How many of you have a written plan in terms of what's going to happen 3 years to 5 years from now? 2 or 3, 4 or 5, maybe. And I saw one hand go like this. It's like, well, yeah, we know sort of the direction we want to head, but it isn't defined. And I say, you see what I'm saying? Most organizations do not. And when it gets to, well, how many people do you want to have 5 years from now? It's like, well, that's sort of general. We don't. And so let me show you how it works generally. And then if this is important to you, you can go back and watch that video, show it to the people in your organization. It's pretty easy to do. What I began to see was that there are certain, and let's call it 7, vital signs that are things that, there are 7 areas in any organization that you want to go up and up and up year after year after year for the next 50 years. You say, what gave you the first clue, Sherlock? We all have that. I say, but have you defined them? Have you agreed on them? And would it shock you if I say, it'll take you a while to figure it out? It'll take you a while to figure it out, and it'll take a while for your board to agree with it, and it'll take a while for your staff to understand it and accept it and agree with it. Your board, your organization doesn't typically have seven things they've agreed on that they want to work over and over for the next 50 years. They have not. But when you do, here's the principle underneath it. Nothing clarifies like measurability. Nothing clarifies like measurability. And so what you're going to find is that when we start measuring, what are the seven things we want to measure year after year after year to make sure we're a healthy organization going in the right direction, it gets pretty clear what's really important to us. And so, and the tape will explain that what you do is you measure the last 3 years, what's happened, how much have we grown for the last 3 years. And that's what I call relevant history. And you take a percentage, you say, what percentage growth have we had? And by the way, the word over all of this, this vital signs and critical standard, is the word healthy. Is your organization healthy today? And you say, well, sure it is. I say, is it for sure? Sure it is, but is it for sure? And I say, because there are seven areas you want to go up and up for the next 50 years, but are they all going up now? And what you're going to find is as you chart it, you may say, well, yeah, they've all gone up for the last 3 years. We're in good shape. I say, great, fantastic. But you may find of the seven, one of them isn't, or three of them aren't, and your organization isn't as healthy as you'd like it to be. So what you want to do is you want to say, for each of these seven, you want to chart like this to basically say, what percentage of growth have we had for the last 3 years? And let's call it 7%. Then what you do is you say, what if we grow at 7% for the next 10 years? And you say, if we grew at 7% for the next 10 years, here is where we'd be on our 10th anniversary from now. We'd be right here. Number of members, number of churches, number of conversions, number of something, number of dollars. So what you do is you say, okay, where will we be in 5 years if we grow no more than we have in the last 3 years? You say we'd be right there. It can tell you the exact number of churches you have. If you grow no faster than you are, it can tell you the exact number of dollars you have if you grow no more than you are now. And you know what? Your board loves it when you don't come in and say, we're going to be fantastic. But you come in and say, if we grow no faster than we are right now, here's where we'll be. They love it. Okay? Because it isn't hype, it's just reality. It's just like we know exactly where we'll be in 10 years if we. But this leads you right into your strategic plan, which is your long term. I'm saying this is the tool that is the hinge between where we want to go long term and where we're going right now next year. And what do we do this year to move 7% up to your clarity of thinking, tying it to the strategic plan, clarifying as to are we healthy right now? And are we leading toward the 20-year, 30-year, 40-year plan? And then this is the vital signs, and you have five critical standards. It's basically this is a percentage or a ratio of things where you say, all right, we want our annual budget to be no more than 85% fixed expenses of our total income. We want no more than 85% of our budget to be fixed expenses. That's mortgage rates, salaries, and the things that we just can't not do. Okay, fixed expenses. And so you put, all right, if we're within 3 points of that, we're in the green. But if we're 5 points above that, we're in the yellow. And more than that, we're in the red. So you put red up and below. You put yellow here. You put yellow here. And you put green here. And what are the five most critical percentages or ratios you need to keep in your entire organization to know that it's healthy? And then each year you just say, okay, we're in the green this year. We grew 7%. We're in the green. We're right on target to where we're headed in the next 10 years. You say, oh, wait a minute. What do we do to get back in the green? Now, I'm going to tell you something quickly because we're running out of time that you may be surprised at. Your board does not care if you're out of line. They don't care if something's wrong. They really do not. What they care about is, are you aware of it, and what are you going to do about it? So this shows you we're low in this area, but board, here's what we're going to do about it. Here, it's like to get back on track to where we're supposed to be going. Okay, that gives you a quantitative way to look at the longer term future than just next year. Okay, and then structural. There's an organizational structure to be needed to grow into the future. And shockingly, the structure of an organization doesn't vary all that much. And it looks like this. You typically have a board. Now, some churches don't have much of a board. They don't like boards, etc. But then you've got a senior executive, a pastor, a president, etc. You've got a chairman up here, probably. Then you've got some kind of administrative services here. Then you've got communication services here, and you've got department heads here for programs, etc. And like in a church, you've got Christian education, you've got missions and outreach, you've got pastoral care, and you've got worship and music. And all of the functions of the church fit somewhere under these four. Now, you may call them something totally different, but you're going to find that those are the basic functions of a church. And you're going to find that that organizational structure applies to your nonprofit organization and your corporation, pretty much. And then what you're going to do is say, okay, here are the main things in the church that we've got to keep in place in the next 50 years. You say, we're just starting our church. We're just planting a church. If you're just planting a church, as a church planter, your name is in all these boxes. That's what will burn you out if you don't get help in doing it. If you don't get laymen to help you, you're going to burn out if you're trying to do all these things yourself. You're trying to teach every class, or preach every sermon, lead all the worship, do all the... It's like, it'll burn you out. So what you do is you say, these are the functions. Who can I get to be in charge of this? And pray to the Lord of Harvest to send forth reapers to help you get that to come together. So that basically, you're looking at, okay, over the next 50 years, we will work at getting this to be the structural support of these dreams we've got. And you could take an organization that's 35,000 staff members and put it into this same organizational structure. Because you always have to have someone in charge of administration, someone in charge of communication, someone in charge of these four divisions. You may have five in a big organization, but it's basically this. So you got an organizational structure. And then lastly, actionable. You basically lay this out as a strategic plan, which may take you, let's call it, 2 or 3 hours. And it may take you a day. It may take your team a day to sort of brainstorm it and debate it, or discuss it and debate it. But a day is a lot of time for put together what we've been talking about here. When you get it, then the actionable item is to, once completed, signed by the members of the board, the senior executive, and the executive team members. Remember I talked about alignment? So that the board and the senior executive are 100% together. And that they are together with the executive team. And that they are together with all of the team members. And that they are with the constituents, and they are with the donors, so that whatever groups, whatever levels you've got, that you've got alignment. And you've got a written statement of the group's assumptions about its direction, its organization, and its cash for the next 10 to 50 years. As a context for what do we do this year to move in that direction. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
All right.